and you can start, brother, about becoming an overcomer for Christ. We hear in the church a lot about what we can't do, but I want to tell you that God says you can do. And I want to give you 10 points this morning, and I'm going to go real quickly because I've got a short time to do it in. But I'm going to give you 10 points that tell you the things that you can do that will cause you to be an overcomer. In Revelations, there's at least a dozen, maybe 15 scriptures where there's promises of blessings or rewards for being that overcomer. Did you know that if we're not an overcomer, we don't even enter into heaven? Ooh. So you can be an overcomer. Listen to me very carefully. Do not believe what you think about yourself. Do not believe what the enemy would have you believe. And do not believe what some people would try to tell you who you are. Above all, believe what God says you are and what God says you can do. Amen. If you'll hook up with God, you can go places and you can do things that you never dreamed that you could do. So as born-again believers, we must all come to the realization that God has given us abilities and has given us ability to be overcomers in life. We can reign over all things, and there should be nothing too difficult for us. I had a brother give me a compliment that said that one thing I've learned about you is that you stay at something. I don't know anything any different. And when I stay at something because I stand on the word of God, God vindicates. Say, God vindicates. And I know that the word of God, beyond everything that I see or feel, is true. So that is a compliment. I took it as a compliment, and I take it as one that I have grown to the point that I'm firm in my faith. Amen. And God wants all of us to be that way. That is what that really means, is we're maturing. So we can be overcomers and we can reign in life. We need to look to God at our possibilities and our life, because it's a life without limitations. Luke 18:27 says, but he said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can, say I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Stop saying you can't do something, because God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Well, life is real tough, Pastor, and I just can't seem to muster up the energy or the strength to do it or overcome it. Yes, you can, because Christ strengthens you. So you can do all things. And then another translation says, I'm ready for anything through the strength of him who makes me strong. The Jerusalem Bible says, there is nothing I cannot master with the help of the one who gives me strength. There is nothing you can't do in God. Then 1 Timothy 1:12 says, I thank him who has made me equal to the task. Here's the problem. We see ourselves not equal to the task. We see ourselves as not having the ability to get the job done. He says you're equal to the task. And we need to see ourselves that way. Listen to what the rest of that goes. I thank him who has made me equal to the task, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Are you going to call God a liar? Well, when you say you can't and you're not equal to the task, without saying it, that's what you're saying. Without saying it, that's what we're saying. Now, I realize we got to grow into some of these things, but we need to start seeing ourselves. If we're going to be the glorious church, the triumphant church, then we're going to have to get into agreement with what God says we are. Do you know how healings take place? When somebody finds that scripture, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. They shall cast out devils in my name. They shall speak with new tongues. When we start to believe that and act upon it, then it becomes a reality in our lives. Amen? So what we have to do is find what God says about us, and then we have to get in agreement with it. I'm going to give you 10 quick points of what you can do. And the first thing is in order to be an overcomer, the first thing you got to do is you can believe. you can believe. The first and most important aspect of this overcomer's creed, if you will, is our belief is in what Jesus has said concerning our possibilities and our position in him. And look what Hebrews 11:6 says. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Mark 9:23-24 says, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. There's nothing impossible to the believer. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, with tears, Lord, help my unbelief. That's where most of us are. We're in unbelief. But I'm telling you this morning, you can believe. It would do you good to just tell yourself, if God says it, I'll get in agreement with it. That's all believing is. And then I can do it. I can believe. God would never tell us that we can do something if he didn't think we had the ability to do it. And not only that, I said you, he's made you equal to the task through what? Through Christ. The ability comes through Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. Anything that God asks us to do, if we'll draw off the life source, which is Christ, we can do. I want to say we're can-do Christians instead of I can't. You need to take can't out of your vocabulary. Do you believe God has made you equal to any task that he gives you? Did you know God never calls you to do anything that you're not able to do with his help? Do you believe that God will take your impossibilities and turn them into possibilities? Well, I've got a mountain of debt. Do you believe God can help you remove that mountain? John said Wednesday night, it's not the size of your faith. It's as small as a mustard seed. You can move a mountain. We don't have to muster up something. Oh, that was funny, wasn't it? We don't have to work up something that's already there. We just have to use what's already been given. The Bible says he has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I like to look at it this way. God has given each one of us a shovel. But not everybody's willing to dig. The church is full of those that have a shovel, but they're just letting it lay there. And then the others that are chipping away at it. The shovel is the measure of faith. And the measure of faith is, if it's just a mustard seed faith, but I got to believe that God gave us more than just a mustard seed faith. Christ was trying to illustrate a point is, it doesn't take a lot of faith to move a mountain. It just takes a little faith. Just like this brother said, help my unbelief. If you find yourself in unbelief, ask God to help you. Say, help me to believe these things that you say about me. Hallelujah. Do you believe this morning that you're more than a conqueror through him? You can believe and you must believe if you're going to be an overcomer in Christ. It won't come any other way. Listen to this inspired prayer by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, 20. I'm just going to read those two verses. It says, and Paul was praying to the church and he's trying to get the church to see something. What is the exceeding greatness? Say greatness. Of his power towards us, that's you and I, who believe. Well, what makes me a believer? A decision, a choice. When I say, I believe, I choose. God said, choose this day. He gave you the ability to choose. Unbelief is a choice. Belief is a choice. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God in heavenly places. What is he saying? He's saying there's a mighty power available to us. And he's wanting us to see that. And he's wanting to see that it's available to the believer, to those who believe. And he's wanting you to understand, it is the same power. Say same. It's not a different power. God's not giving you something less than he gave Christ. It's the same power that raised, resurrected Christ. Now, what is that power? It's the power of God. And it's available to you and I. It's the same power. It's not a different power. And if it was strong enough to raise Christ from the dead, it's strong enough to cause us to be able to walk in faith and believe. Are you listening? You can believe this morning. And then the second thing is, I hear this all the time, Pastor, I can't change. No, you can't with that attitude. You sure can't. But listen to this. In order to be an overcomer for God, that God has ordained you to be, you must be willing to go through changes. You must be willing to be conformed in the image of Jesus Christ. Our life consists of yielding ourselves to His transforming grace. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, that includes all of us, with unveiled faces, that means the veil's been removed. No longer is there any fog in front of us so we can't see it clearly. No longer is the veil of the law in front of us telling us that we're not good enough anymore. But by the grace of God, the veil has been removed and we all open-faced. Open-faced. All the clouds been removed. Anything that would make you not see it clearly. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if he says you're being changed, quit saying I can't change, because whether you realize it or not, you are being changed. And not only you are, if you will get along with the program and start to say, I want to be changed, it'll go a whole lot faster and a lot easier. You know, my kids had a much easier time when we were going somewhere they didn't want to go if they would go willingly rather than me having to drag them, fighting, arguing, crying. Who has a good time doing that? Well, you know, some church folks are that way. God is having to drag us against our will. But when you committed your life to God, Jesus said, you're mine. And he's going to work on you like you are his. So when we can see that beholding him in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Now let me explain that. That means we're going from one level to another. God recognizes we have to grow. He recognizes when you're a babe in Christ. And he recognizes when he gets you past the bottle and the pacifier. Oh, God, help us. You know how many times I spend going around picking up pacifiers, putting back in babes in Christ's mouth? Oh, most of my time. You know, in Hebrews it says, let us grow if God's willing, and God is willing, trust me, past the babyhood stage and let us go on unto maturity. Hebrews chapter 5, I believe it is. Laying aside all of the silly stuff that babies do. So we can change, and we are being changed. And God wants you to know that if you'll come willingly and you'll begin to see yourself as a person that's being transformed, you'll one day wake up and look in the mirror and go, who on earth is that? That ain't who I used to be. Thank God. My family don't even know me anymore. I'm sure some of them say, well, he's really out there now. No, they just haven't got up and got with the program. If I'm out there, God's out there. Because I'm following after God. Now, let me tell you what it means to change. This is what we don't like. It means putting on the new man, which is created after Jesus Christ, and putting off the works of the flesh, which are a part of the old sinful nature. This is a part we don't really like. That's what I said. We got to die to live. We have to die to our old self in order to embrace the new, because they don't mix. They will not fit in the same place. You cannot put on the old man over the new man. Or the new man over the old man. Look at Ephesians 4, 22 and 24 says, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, say put on, the new man which is created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Every morning when you get up, you need to say, I'm choosing today. That's all it really means, is I'm choosing today. It's not literally, it is literally, but it's not literally going in there and putting clothes on. It's literally putting off the old way of thinking, the old nature, Let me give you an example. The old nature was, if you do me wrong, I'll do my best to get back at you. The new nature says, if you do me wrong, I'm going to love you in spite of yourself, brother. I wasn't talking to you. I meant her. She's the one that jumped on me. That's who I was looking at. I'm kidding. But it's a choice that I put on every day, that I'm going to walk in Christ. And it's a moment by moment thing sometimes. Sometimes when you're in the midst of the battle and your flesh wants to go the other way, you have to talk to yourself and say, wait a minute. This is not what God likes. Flesh, I know you're enjoying this, but no. Not anymore. That's called crucifying yourself, your flesh, and saying, The other day at work, someone irritated me really bad. And I had worked all weekend I worked. And then Monday night, I got called back in and had to work all night after working all day. No, Tuesday night, come here to prayer service. I thought, I'm doing the right thing. And I was dead tired. Got home and they started calling me, and I finally said, that's it, I'm going in. And I stayed all night long, only to have next morning's this quality person come in and look at something, and I could see the look in their face. Not good enough. My flesh, at first, and if you know me very much, I can give you a look. My wife said, if looks could kill, you got looks of steel. I can look through people. I don't know why. It's a gift. It is. It works. I turn around and I start to give that person the look without incriminating anybody. And they felt it. How many of those looks, body language speaks volumes? I didn't even have to say nothing, but with my heart, boy, it was radiating. And about the time I turn around and make eye contact with them, I could see them wither. It was beginning to intimidate them. And they started to draw back. And about that time, the Holy Spirit spoke in my heart and said, you know better. First of all, you're a man of God. First of all, you're my son. Second of all, you're a man of God. And you're supposed to be representing me to the unsaved and those that you're working with. Don't act that way. My flesh said, yeah, but I can make a mistake once in a while. I'm tired. I deserve this. Listen to me now. And the Holy Spirit says, you know better. Then my heart started melting. How many of you had your heart melt from conviction? Boy, I began to wither. Then my looks changed at that person. I went over and I got real close to him. How many knows I'm a touchy-touchy kind of person? I don't know. I just feel like I need sometimes to wrap my arm around people and just let them feel the love. And I said, you know what? We're going to make it better. Didn't have to say nothing more than that. And that person started smiling and said, you know what? We're going to work with you. I'm thinking, under my breath, my flesh won't say, you bet you are. But but the spirit man was saying, now this is the right way to handle something in God. This is what you got to do. That's a decision. And it's moment by moment sometimes. When your husband gets ugly with you or your wife gets ugly with you, and don't tell me it don't happen, I know better. When that happens, you got to make a choice. Am I going to render evil for evil, or am I going to put on the new man and put off the old man? The old man say, I'll put you in your place. Don't you talk to me that way. The new man says, go ahead, make my day. Y'all didn't get that. In the spirit. I'm going to win this thing in the spirit. And I'm going to be changed. And change only happens when change takes place. Change only happens when you say, I will. So you can change. You can put off and put on that quick. Because I've seen people get road rage that quick. They didn't wake up that morning with road rage. It happened in a moment of time. And it was a decision. Third thing, I got to go. I can be loved by God and loved by others. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 8:37 says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Well, you don't know the people I have to deal with. God does. And he wasn't oblivious to that when he wrote this. And 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Did you know there's a, I have to do this all the time. Sometimes I say, God, I get so tired of having them lay down my life for others. He said, how do you think Jesus felt? But you know what? There's rewards for that. So you can be loved. And you can love others. The Bible says love others as you love, as God loves you, or you love yourself. First of all, love yourself. Listen to me. God knew you as an ugly mess when he came after you. So why do you think that he loves you any less? He died for you, the Bible says, while you were yet sinners. Well, now I'm born again. Well, he thinks different about me. No, he doesn't. He loved you then. He loves you now. You can love yourself. And the love of God's been poured out into your heart. You may not know that. If you have it, it's a revelation. It's in you. But you got to choose it. And then you got to love others as you love yourself. Usually I find people who don't love themselves won't love others because they can't, because they don't even love themselves. So first of all, fall in love with yourself. I don't love anybody more than I love myself. You're all going, oh, I can't believe you said that, but you're the same way. I'm telling you, when you look at a picture, and we got a church picture back here when we did the Join the Church of God, and if I brought it out here and I handed it to each one of you, here's what would happen. The first thing you do is you're drawn to yourself. So don't tell me you don't love yourself. You do love yourself. It's the truth. And you know what? You think about feeding yourself before you think about feeding anybody else. Number four, I can be forgiven. I can forgive and be forgiven. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind one to another. You ought to try that sometime. That works really well. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. God gave you a new heart. He said, I took out the heart of stone and I put in a heart of flesh. So you got a tender heart. You just got to make a choice. Forgiving one another just as God in Christ forgave you. Give everybody the love, the forgiveness that God gave you. You can do that. Number five, I can rule my thoughts. This is one that people think that they can't do. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of stronghold, casting down arguments. I like that, arguments. Did you know there's arguments that go into your head? Some of you argued this morning, should I go to church or should I just stay here with St. Mattress? You say, preacher, you're getting nosy now. No, I'm telling you where we live. There's arguments that go on. He said, bring in every argument into captivity unto the obedience of Christ when your obedience is fulfilled. You can control your thought life. You don't have to let your thoughts, yes, thoughts come from outside, but you don't have to let them take up residence there. Philippians 4:7-8 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. And the Philip says, fix your mind on these things. So you can. It's a choice. It is a choice. Number six, I can make a difference. This is where we all need to hear this. We've been sent into the world to be salt and light. You would believe the way Christians act. We don't believe that scripture. First of all, we don't want to taste any different than the world tastes. That's what he meant by salt. Second of all, We're going to, like Jesus said, we got that bushel basket thing going on. I'm going to get in church and I'm going to be a light, praise God. I'm all bold when I'm around believers. But when I get out in the world, it's a whole different ball game. I get intimidated. And I'm not going to let my light shine. I'm an undercover Christian. Secret agent. Who you kidding? I'm 007. I'm an undercover Christian, Lord. Send me on a secret mission that nobody knows about. Know your salt and your light. And it's when we're doing these things that we glorify God and we make a difference in our world. When salt touches something, the Bible says it preserves it. It brings a different flavor into it. But the Bible says if we lose our saltiness, then we're good for nothing to be cast out. In other words, men to render us under their feet and go, he wasn't no Christian. I knew he wasn't to start with. He's a secret agent, man. Glory to God. We've been given to this generation to serve the Lord for His purposes. Esther 4:14 says, for if you remain completely silent at this time, say silent. If you remain silent at this time, listen to this. Relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. God saying, if you won't do it, I'll have to go get somebody else to do it. He said, open your mouth and I'll fill it. And he says, but if you and your father's house will, and you and your father's house will perish if you remain silent. Now yet, he says, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You have come to the kingdom for this very hour. God knew when John was going to be born. He knew when Lila was going to be born. He knew it would be the last day generation. He knew that would be the glorious church. He knew that that would be the church that he would raise up. And he said the latter house will be much greater than the former house. He knew that that church would be the one that would arise and shine because the light has come and the glory of God would be displayed through them. We have come to this hour for such a time as this to bring glory to our Savior. Not only that, to save our own house and save the houses of others. And it's time we begin to believe that. You can make a difference. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I really just not sure. Well, then he says, your house is going to perish. That's what it said. You better get sure. Because the devil's sure. He's sure going to come knocking on your door. And he sure knows what buttons to push. Secret agent man. Number 7. I can accomplish great things. Say that with me. I can accomplish great things. You know one thing I love about John. And I'm bragging on you, John. Is that... you've come a long way, praise God. No, I don't mean that spiritually speaking. Now, yeah, that I do, but yes. I mean, in the world, there were some things that said John could not succeed to the point to where he succeeded. Some of you in here today, and you got an inferiority complex saying, I can only attain so much in life. Says who? Did you know President Obama, when he was in the first grade, he didn't know nothing? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I mean, he was a kid. He said, I'm going to be a president one day. He's the only guy I ever knew that first time he run for Senate, boom, he got Senate and goes from a junior senator to the president. But you get in church and we don't believe we can do anything. We don't believe we can do nothing. But I so appreciate that you have taken God at His word. And you said, I can accomplish great things through God. Yes, some doors will be closed in your face. But you know what? Some doors will be open too. Because God said, I am He that opens doors that no man can close. Jesus, John 14:12 says, most assuredly, I say to you, listen to this. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. What are we going to do with this verse? Are we going to act like it's not true, or are we going to act on it? If we begin to act on it, guess what? The greater works will be ours, because he went to the Father. We know he went to the Father. And God will bring his power and his abundance through us to many. And I tell you what, we can do it because God says we can do it. Our part is only to believe it, accept it, act like it's true. You can accomplish great things. Number 8, I can stand in the midst of adverse circumstances. Pastor, you just don't know how hard it is. Listen to me. God does. Yeah, you'll call me and I'll be able to get in your unbelief with you and waller before it's over with. You can wear me down, but you can't wear God down. He says, I change not. There's no shadow of turning in me. You can wear on me to the point where I just go, oh, whatever, this is beyond control. But I'm telling you, you can stand in the midst of the onslaught of the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Listen to 2 Samuel 23:11-12. This is the story of Shammon, the son of Agi, the Heratite. I know. Yeah. Amen. There's a bunch of them in the church. No, that was heretic, wasn't it? I mean... And after him was Shammon, the son of Agi, the Heratite. The Philistines had gathered together in the troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils. The people fled from the enemy, the Philistines, but he. He made up his mind, it says, and he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. God is looking for somebody that'll take a stand. I should have left this church a long time ago when the enemy was coming in like a flood and trying to destroy us, but I decided I'm going to prove God, and if everybody leaves, I'll still be here. And you know what? Having done all to stand, God began to turn it around. And God's going to wrought a great victory. And if you'll begin to stand in the Lord, he'll wrought a great victory in your life. You can stand. He said, after you've done everything you know to do, he said, just stand and see the salvation of God. Number 9, I'm getting ready to close. Number 9, I can defeat the enemy. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God. Say, I'm of God. You're of God. You underestimate who you are, little children. That's what it says. I'm not calling you a little child. I'm just telling you. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Listen to me. The devil knows who's in you. If the problem is, you don't know who's in you. Man, if you ever wake up to Christ in you, the hope of glory, the devil's gone. He's done been routed by him. He don't want to get routed again. Luke 10:19 says, behold, that means, hey, pay attention. Look, see, open your eyes. I give you authority to trample on the serpent and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, you don't know how bad the devil's been to me. Well, he can't hurt you because you've been given power to trample on him. We do a song that said, he's under my feet, he's under my feet. And then I see people come in here and they're under his feet. I said, wait a minute, what happened? Last week he was under your feet. This week you let him get on top. He's got to be under your feet. That's why these guys do this stomping and stuff. Because they're doing it in Christ, saying, devil, ooh, you're under my feet. I'm telling you, we got to believe what God says about us. And we got to get out of this unbelief state. If we're ever going to do great things for God, we're going to have to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You are of God, little children. He didn't say adults. Even the kids have power over the wicked one. You don't have to be some full-grown preacher, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, super-duper apostle. All you've got to be is a little child in God. Now, lastly, come on up, Nina, if you will. Adam, come on up. And I want you to hear this closely, because this is the one you need to hear. 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7. Say this with me. I can be a finisher. You can finish what God started. 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7. This is Paul speaking. He said, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. Before I go any further, let me tell you what a good fight is. It ain't like the ones I used to get in with my older brother. I beat his knuckles to pieces with my face. I remember one time I smacked him one good one in the face. Next thing I know, he smacked me and I was on the ground. And next thing I know, he had his knees on my arms. And next thing I know, I was getting Fifth City in the face. And my grandfather sat there and watched it. When my brother finally wore himself out, or my face got to looking like a mushmelon, I don't know which came first, he finally got tired and got up off of me. And I was still angry. Ugh. I walked over to my grandfather and I said, thanks a lot. He said, you ought not to bite off more than you can chew, son. You asked for it. That's not a good fight. A good fight is one you can win. And God said you can win this fight. You can finish the race. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. In other words, the devil has tried to stop me at every turn. He's tried to hinder me. He's tried to kill me. He's tried to stop the ministry. But I fought him with the grace of God. And I have finished. Ding, ding, round 15's over. And praise God, I can raise my hand because I'm a winner in Christ. He said, now's laid up for me the prize. You can be a finisher this morning. You don't have to be a loser. Because God's made you a winner. You can run the race. He said, I've kept the faith. You can run this race and win. And you can finish, praise God. And the devil can't do nothing about it. He said, I fought the good fight of faith. Listen to me. The devil's after your faith. Because if he steals your faith, which is in the Word and in God, then you're no match for him. The only weapons you have is God's Word against him. That's where faith is. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word. He's trying to steal the truth. The Word. We're much greater than we gave ourselves credit for. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Father, we bless you today. We see today, God, that we can do great things in God. I pray today, God, that everything that's been said here today, even though we had some fun with it, is serious, gets down in our hearts. And that we know that we're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. And we can do, come on up, John, and sing with him. We can do what God says we can do. Today, I want to give you a chance to come to the altar. If you need prayer, and I want to pray for you, Pam, for Daryl. I know he's got some things going on in his body, and we're going to agree. Anybody else need prayer today? Or you just want to make a recommitment or dedication to the Lord, come forward. You need prayer for anything. The Bible says where two or three shall touch as agree in anything, my Father will see to it that it's done. Hallelujah. Come on.